The Dark Side of Capitalism, by Any Means, by Alexandros Panzaris. Copyright 1985 by Alexandros Panzaris, all rights reserved. No part of this book may be reproduced or transmitted in any form by any means, graphic, electronic, or mechanical, including photocopying, recording, taping, or by any information storage retrieval system, without the written permission of the author. ISBN B75849301734. Printed in the United States of America. First chapter. Title. Introduction. A person cannot help but acknowledge that economic evolution has done well for most humans. These humans have successfully competed with their neighboring species, leaving more offspring in subsequent generations, and grew exponentially. There have been, however, indications that not all is well with this human bloom. We got lost from our original physical and behavioral selves. Presently, we need to talk about our effects on the environment. The following are but a few important examples that have popped up in the news in the past few years regarding the negative effects of the explosion of human populations upon planet Earth's infrastructure. These effects destroyed multitudes of Earth's energy-efficient catalytic cycles. Next chapter. Title: Primitive Tribes. Those who do not speak of commerce or markets are trampled upon. Most tribal cultures and peoples, especially those who have not been contacted, are at a disadvantage. Often called primitive and backward, they are subject to annihilation by so-called more advanced cultures and populations. For example, today 500,000 African pygmies are left from what was estimated to be 5 million 50 years ago. Next chapter. Title: Coal and Crude Oil. The use of coal and crude oil greased the skids powering the Industrial Revolution and every conceivable aspect of modern life, from fuel for mechanical engines to plastics that seem to permeate and envelop everything we buy. This use of coal and crude oil is also hailed in the haphazard research in chemistry, where new and non-degradable and non-biological chemicals now poison our existence, from killing precious pollinating bees to seeping into our water and food systems. Crude oil is so pervasive because it is the lifeblood of our economies. There are three issues concerning crude oil and its products that affect the environment. The first is air pollution, mainly from automobile exhaust fumes. These pollutants come from total and partial combustion of fuels. They include carbon monoxide and carbon exhaust particulates. Animals exposed to high enough concentrations of certain air pollutants may experience irritation of the eyes, nose, and throat, wheezing, coughing, chest tightness, and breathing difficulties, worsening of existing lung and heart problems, such as asthma, and increased risk of a heart attack. In addition, long-term exposure to air pollution can cause cancer and damage to the immune, neurological, reproductive, and respiratory systems. In extreme cases, it can even cause death. The second issue is the spilling of crude oil and its byproducts because of human activity. Approximately 11% of these spills occur during the drilling, refining, and transportation of these products. 89% are caused by the end user in the dumping of petroleum-based products down the drain in our homes and businesses, leaky engines, and mishandling of fuels in activities such as mowing the lawn or faulty storage tanks that leak into the ground. Third, crude oil, refined petroleum products, and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons are ubiquitous in various environmental zones. They can bioaccumulate in food cycles, where they disrupt the biochemical or physiological activities of many organisms, thus causing carcinogenesis of some organs, mutagenesis in the genetic material, impairment of reproductive capacity, and/or hemorrhages in exposed populations. Next chapter, title: Tourism. Idyllic tourist destinations have been so spoiled by tourists that many authorities are being forced to close them down to prevent further damage. For example, Koh Tachai in Thailand's Ranong province was rated as Thailand's most beautiful island. Nevertheless, according to the Bangkok Post, the tourist-ravaged beaches of Koh Tachai will have to close indefinitely. Tunya Nedathamakul, Director General of the Department of National Parks, Wildlife and Plant Conservation, said that tourism had resulted in overcrowding and the degradation of natural resources and the environment. The closure of the island was designed to give the land and marine environments a chance to regenerate before the damage is beyond repair. Mining. The environmental impact of mining includes erosion, formation of sinkholes, loss of biodiversity, and contamination of soil, groundwater, and surface water by chemicals from mining processes. In some cases, additional forest logging is done in the vicinity of mines to increase the room available for storage of the created debris and discarded soils. Besides causing environmental damage, the contamination resulting from the leakage of chemicals affects the health of the local population. Mining methods have significant environmental and public health issues. Erosion of exposed hillsides, mine dumps, tailings dams, and the resultant siltation of drainages, creeks, and rivers can significantly impact the surrounding areas, a prime example being the giant Ok Tedi mine in Papua New Guinea. In areas of wilderness, mining may cause destruction and disturbances of ecosystems and habitats, and in areas of farming, mining may disturb or destroy productive grazing and croplands. In urbanized environments, mining may produce noise pollution, dust pollution, and visual pollution. Mining refineries produce a large proportion of the harmful waste products, which later have to be disposed of in specific ways to avoid harming the environment. In addition, conventional refineries create toxic waste that must also be accounted for. Governments around the globe that have some kind of environmental concerns and attempt to regulate mining do it to protect human safety and, in some instances, the safety of human properties, not the natural fauna and flora. No concept of the cyclical nature of life on Earth is understood. Next chapter. Title: Agriculture. From the birth of agriculture, food production for humans has sequestered the natural resources of other species for human use, to the point where humanity is faced with the task of becoming zookeepers of what remains of Earth's observable wildlife. The massive human population explosion is not helping but hindering the work of those who see its danger to the planet, because when it comes to the last kernel of maize, the odds are that it will be given to a human and not a bird or squirrel. Agriculture, as with any perturbation to the natural environment, has also interfered with evolution and natural selection, where naturally occurring plants and animals are replaced with domesticated ones. For instance, in the process of farming, our ancestors had a choice of picking from two varieties of wheat they collected on the hillsides of the Near East. The dominant type shattered upon the slightest touch, scattering the seeds so the species could spread and survive. The other did not scatter its seeds so easily, and therefore it was easier to handle. As a result, a higher proportion of this non-scattering variety was collected and planted than occurred in nature. With each succeeding year, a higher proportion of the non-scattering wheat was harvested and planted. Natural selection has been replaced by those who think they know best. With agriculture, there were times when production exceeded demand, and as a result, politics was born. A decision as to who gets the surplus and what they do with it came into play, and a new world of wheeling and dealing came into being. In summary, humans once danced to the beat of the whole earth in unison with all life forms, as hunter-gatherers' living cycles contributed to the web of life. They indeed took, but they also gave back and never took for granted what they received, and instead believed that it was a precious gift to be thankful for. The earth was a part of them, and they were a part of it physically and spiritually. Unfortunately, the thoughts of some humans wandered beyond the planting of seeds. One of the first wayward thoughts included the domestication of animals. You may argue that it does not matter if you eat from a wild animal or a domesticated one. There is no difference pound for pound. The breakthrough of the unconstrained earth dancers did not stop there. The humans needed to feed their captives, and so they had to impound the grounds that others danced on. They denied those others the right to feed freely. Plants, birds, and insects were eliminated or chased away, and so were the many animals that called these lands their temples. Next chapter. Pesticides. Throughout most of history, insects have been loathed. From locusts to termites and the boll weevil, they have gained a reputation as being detrimental to the interests of humankind. It was not until recent history that some insects were found to be useful and helpful to humankind. Over 98% of sprayed insecticides and 95% of herbicides cause harm to life forms other than the intended target species because they are sprayed or spread across entire agricultural fields. Runoff can carry pesticides into aquatic environments, whereas wind can carry them to other fields, grazing areas, human settlements, and undeveloped areas, potentially affecting other species. Other problems emerge from poor production, transport, and storage practices. Over time, repeated application increases pest resistance, while its effects on other species can facilitate the pest's resurgence. Each pesticide or pesticide class comes with a specific set of environmental concerns. Such undesirable effects have led many pesticides to be banned, while regulations have limited and/or reduced the use of others. Over time, pesticides have generally become less persistent and more species-specific, reducing their environmental impact. In addition, the amounts of pesticides applied per acre have declined, in some cases by 99%. Nonetheless, the global spread of pesticide use, including the use of older or obsolete pesticides that have been banned in some jurisdictions, has increased overall. The bee is just one example of the harm done to off-target species. It was not until its effects on pollination were discovered that the value of bees' services to humankind was recognized along with that of several other insects. Today, bees and other useful insects are in danger from insecticides that are used to protect domesticated plants from other insects and fungi. Next chapter. Title: Fertilizers. Similarly to insecticides, fertilizers can run off into waterways, thereby poisoning fish and other aquatic species for which fertilizers were not intended. With the advent of the so-called Green Revolution in the second half of the 20th century, when farmers began to use technological advances to boost yields, synthetic fertilizers, pesticides, and herbicides became commonplace around the world, not only on farms, but also in backyard gardens and on front lawns. These chemicals, many of which were developed in the lab and are petroleum-based, have allowed farmers and gardeners of every stripe to exercise greater control over the plants they want to grow by enriching the immediate environment and warding off pests. But such benefits haven't come without environmental costs, namely the wholesale pollution of most of our streams, rivers, ponds, lakes, and even coastal areas, because these synthetic chemicals run off into nearby waterways. When the excess nutrients from all the fertilizers we use enter our waterways, they cause algae blooms, sometimes big enough to make waterways impassable. A related issue is the poisoning of aquatic life. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, Americans alone churn through 75 million pounds of pesticides each year to keep the bugs off their pea pods and petunias. When those chemicals get into waterways, fish ingest them and become diseased. Humans who eat diseased fish can themselves become ill, completing the circle wrought by pollution. A 2007 study of pollution in rivers around Portland, Oregon, revealed that wild salmon there are swimming around with dozens of synthetic chemicals in their system. Another recent study from Indiana showed that a variety of corn genetically engineered to produce the insecticide BT is having toxic effects on off-target aquatic insects, including caddisflies, a major food source for fish and frogs. Next chapter. Title: Any modern economy is fueled by cheap energy, scraped from or pumped out of the ground, and when the goal of this economy is to provide endless goods and services to its limitlessly self-gratifying consumers, the finite earth must pay the price with gored landscapes and poisoned waterways and agricultural fields. This open-ended perception that the earth is limitless in providing resources is a problem we need to face today and not tomorrow. Next chapter. Title: Extinctions. The fastest mass extinction in Earth's history is happening right now. There is no doubt in the minds of biologists that the Earth is losing a race with time to save its precious cargo. In 1993, Harvard biologist E.O. Wilson estimated that Earth was losing 30,000 species per year, or 3 species per hour. This means that approximately 700,000 species have gone extinct since this estimate was made. This bio die-off crisis is snowballing, and many experts predict the sixth mass extinction on the horizon. There is no doubt that humans are the direct cause of this habitat stress and species destruction in the modern world through such activities as transformation of the landscape, through agriculture, mining, oil exploration and fracking, construction and forestry practices, overexploitation of species by overhunting game species, pollution, human overpopulation, and introduction of invasive species into existing habitats. Food chain disruption. The most immediate impact would likely be on the food chain. For example, as sea surface temperatures continue to rise, many species of plankton are beginning to decline. If the plankton, such as diatoms and krill, were to go entirely extinct, this event would have an impact on larger creatures, such as fish and whales, who consume plankton as a major food source. In turn, if those larger marine animals have less to eat, and as their population declines, these changes may have a domino effect throughout the food chain, ultimately reducing human food sources. Medicine. Many medications are derived from plants, which rely on insects for pollination. As the insect population decreases, such plants may struggle to reproduce. The fewer plants there are, the harder it would be for the remaining insects to find a food source, creating a cause and effect loop that can hurt all the species involved. Some medications are created from the skin of amphibians, which are also under threat of extinction. Higher disease risk. Some animals are resistant to certain types of diseases, e.g., the opossum's ability to ward off Lyme disease. Such buffer species help prevent outbreaks from spreading to other animals and humans. As buffer species lose habitat space to urbanization, or as climate-induced changes in an ecosystem proceed, the ability of such species to create the buffer declines. As they become extinct, the creatures that move in to take their place are often less adept at containing the spread of diseases, or are more likely to contract such diseases, putting humans at a higher risk of diseases. Next chapter. Title: The Habitats. With the domestication of plants and animals, more and more lands are needed to support this human activity, implying a loss of habitat for animal and plant species of no interest to humans. For instance, in the southern United States of America, beef cattle are raised on ranges, making them compete with other indigenous species that naturally occur there. This competition is aided by humankind's ability to shoot or poison those species that are undesirable to the national economy. Next chapter. Title: Soil Erosion and Degradation. Natural processes moved rocks from their resting places down hills and gullies using wind, whereas water currents caused them to collide with other rocks. All this movement resulted in the formation of soils approximately 450 million years ago, when plants started to take root after evolving from simpler organisms. Since then, soils have moved under the influence of water or wind, known as erosion, at a comparable rate of formation and deposition. A far more recent problem is the loss of soil at a much faster rate than its formation or deposition from other areas. This phenomenon results from humankind's actions, such as allowing overgrazing by cattle and other domesticated species, and improper cultivation practices using mechanized agricultural implements. These actions leave the land fallow and unsuitable for human or natural species use. The eroded soils are transported away and deposited in undesirable locations. As a result of human construction activities, soils may also be degraded, which includes salinization, nutrient loss, and compaction. Approximately 40 to 50% of the soil erosion on Earth is caused by humans and their irresponsible behaviors. Deforestation, improper farming techniques, intensive agriculture, and construction of roads, bridges, and dams all lead to soil erosion. Although intensive agriculture and improper farming methods indeed lead to soil erosion, it is equally true that soil erosion affects further agriculture. When the soil is being eroded, it is not just the soil that is taken away, but the minerals and nutrients that naturally occur in the soil are also lost. Soil erosion removes the topmost layer of the soil, topsoil, which no doubt is the most fertile and most productive part of any soil. When the top layer is removed, rills and gullies are formed in the soil. The harmful effects of the removal of topsoil do not end there. When the top layer is removed, the soil's ability to store water and other nutrients is reduced. This situation also exposes the subsoil. This subsoil has poor physical and chemical properties, making it susceptible to further erosion, and crops that were newly planted are washed off along with the soil. This soil erosion also affects waterways. It leads to the deposition of silt in the path of flowing water. The eroded soil may contain fertilizers, pesticides, and other harmful chemicals, which will decrease the quality of water in these rivers and streams. Soil erosion compromises the soil's capacity for sustaining the growth of plants and crops. Thus, agricultural yields tend to be lower. Often, the subsoil contains clay, which limits the development of the roots of plants. Wind erosion contributes to air pollution. Soil particles carried in the air lead to dust that can contain chemicals from agricultural practices. This soil dust often leads to respiratory problems and skin infections in humans. Next chapter. Title: Ocean Pollution. This pollution occurs when harmful or potentially harmful effects result from the entry into the ocean of chemicals, particles, industrial, agricultural, and residential waste, noise, or the spread of invasive organisms. 80% of marine pollution comes from land. Air pollution is also a contributing factor by carrying off pesticides or dirt into the ocean. Land and air pollution have proven to be harmful to marine life and its habitats. The pollution often comes from non-point sources such as agricultural runoff, wind-blown debris, and dust. Nutrient pollution, a form of water pollution, means contamination by excessive input of nutrients. It is a primary cause of eutrophication of surface waters, in which excess nutrients, usually nitrogen or phosphorus, stimulate algal growth. Many potentially toxic chemicals adhere to tiny particles, which are then taken up by plankton and benthos animals, most of which are either deposit feeders or filter feeders. This way, the toxins are concentrated upward within ocean food chains. Many particles combine chemically in a manner highly depletive of oxygen, causing estuaries to become anoxic. When pesticides are incorporated into the marine ecosystem, they quickly become absorbed into marine food webs. Once in the food web, these pesticides can cause mutations as well as diseases, which can be harmful to humans and the entire food web. Toxic metals can also be introduced into marine food webs. These metals can cause a change in tissue composition and biochemistry and animal behavior and reproduction, thereby suppressing growth in marine life. Also, many animal feeds have a high fish meal or fish hydrolysate content. This way, marine toxins can be transferred to land animals and appear later in meat and dairy products. Next chapter. Title: Deforestation. It has been estimated that approximately half of Earth's mature tropical forests, between 2.9 million and 3 million square miles of the original 5.8 million to 6.2 million square miles that until 1947 had covered the planet, have now been destroyed. Some scientists have predicted that unless significant measures such as seeking out and protecting current old-growth forests are taken on a worldwide basis, then by 2030 there will only be 10% remaining, with another 10% in a degraded condition. 80% will have been lost, and with them hundreds of thousands of irreplaceable plant and animal species, along with a loss of habitat for millions of plant, animal, and insect species. Forests are cut down for many reasons, but most of them are related to money or to people's need to provide for their families. The biggest driver of deforestation is agriculture. Farmers cut forests to gain more room for planting crops or grazing livestock. Often, many small farmers each clear a few acres to feed their families by cutting down trees and burning them in a process known as slash-and-burn agriculture. Logging operations, which provide the world's wood and paper products, also cut countless trees each year. Loggers, some of them acting illegally, also build roads to access more and more remote forests. These actions lead to further deforestation. Forests are also cut as a result of urban sprawl. Deforestation has many negative effects on the environment. The most dramatic impact is a loss of habitat for millions of species. 70% of Earth's land animals and plants live in forests, and many cannot survive the deforestation that destroys their homes. Deforestation also drives climate change. Forest soils are moist, but without protection from sun-blocking tree cover, they quickly dry out. Trees also help perpetuate the water cycle by returning water vapor into the atmosphere. Without trees to fill these roles, many former forest lands can quickly become barren deserts. Removal of trees deprives the forest of portions of its canopy, which blocks the sun's rays during the day and holds in heat at night. This disruption leads to more extreme temperature swings that can be harmful to plants and animals. Trees also play a critical role in the absorption of greenhouse gases that fuel global warming. Fewer forests mean larger amounts of greenhouse gases entering the atmosphere and increased speed and severity of global warming. Next chapter. Title: Depletion of Global Fisheries. A report entitled Status and Solutions for the World's Unassessed Fisheries by the Sustainable Fisheries Group, SFG, has confirmed the suspicions held by many researchers that nearly 80% of the world's fisheries are in steep decline. The reasons for this decline are overfishing caused by many factors that include uninformed political pressure that tends to dominate the decision-making process, the problem of the unmanaged commons where there is no policy for management, and the use of gill nets that kill much more than the target fish. Over time, this situation can lead fisheries to collapse. Overfishing is a global problem with many serious social, economic, and environmental implications. Next chapter. Title: Environmental Effects. There is also growing evidence that the increased volume of fishing activity worldwide is having a serious effect on the health of the oceans as a whole. When commercially valuable species are overexploited, other species and habitats that share the same ecosystem are affected. For instance, recent studies suggest that overfishing of large shark species has had a ripple effect on the shark's food chain, increasing the number of species, such as rays, that are usual prey for large sharks, resulting in declining stocks of smaller fish and shellfish favored by these species. In addition to harvesting large amounts of fish and seafood for sale, large-scale fishing operations catch and often unintentionally kill off-target marine life, including juvenile fish, corals, and other bottom-feeding organisms, sharks, whales, sea turtles, and birds. Killing these unintended species can have significant effects on marine ecosystems. Based on new information about the dynamics of marine ecosystems, more and more countries and regional fisheries management organizations, RFMOs, are adopting an ecosystem-based approach to the management of fish stocks. Next chapter, title: Invasive Species. These are species that are transferred from one ecosystem to another and compete with native ones by taking over their habitats. An increase in global trade has increased the number of plant and animal species that are carried from one part of the globe to another, legally, illegally, or accidentally. Some of these species become invasive and wreak havoc on the destination ecosystem's ecological balance. A key factor that makes many species invasive is a lack of predators in the new environment. This factor is complex and results from thousands of years of evolution in a different place. Predators and prey often co-evolve in a phenomenon called the co-evolutionary arms race. What this means is that as prey develop better defenses, predators in turn evolve better ways of exploiting prey. The classic example of this interplay is the cheetah and antelope. Faster antelopes survive better because they can better escape cheetahs. The fastest cheetahs then survive better because they can better catch the faster antelope. Neither species ultimately gains an advantage because they continually evolve in response to one another. Nevertheless, when a plant or animal enters a new environment, they will likely encounter predators who have not been evolving with them, which makes these predators unable to successfully exploit the prey. Defense mechanisms like venom, size, or speed that have been matched by adaptation in predators are suddenly without match in the new environment. This advantage can allow the species to proliferate rapidly because it no longer faces any predators. Many insect or fungal species that are invasive in the United States come from regions where native trees have evolved resistance to their effects. When these species enter the U.S., they find trees that have no resistance and can decimate forests quickly. Invasive species may also be able to exploit a resource that native species cannot use, which allows them to take hold in the new environment. Introduced into the western United States, the barbed goatgrass thrives in serpentine soils, whereas native plants do not normally grow there. This exploit has given the barbed goatgrass a solid stronghold in the area. Combined with the fact that grazing animals do not like its taste, this grass has spread rapidly throughout California. Some species also alter the environment in a manner that makes the environment more favorable for them, but less suitable for natives, a phenomenon called ecological facilitation. The yellow star thistle has been introduced into the West Coast and secretes the chemical compound 8-hydroxyquinoline from the roots. This compound harms native plants, thus allowing star thistle to increase its range as its chemicals wipe out native competitors. Next chapter. Title: Hazardous and Toxic Waste. Hazardous waste is waste that poses substantial or possible threats to public health or the environment. Worldwide, the United Nations Environmental Program, UNEP, has estimated the production of more than 400 million tons of hazardous waste universally each year by industrialized countries, with approximately 4 million tons shipped across international borders. The majority of transfers from industrialized countries to developing nations have to do with disposal because of the rising cost of disposing of hazardous waste in the home country. Disposal consists of storage either above or below ground, leaving a legacy for future generations. In the case of biological toxins, they are incinerated or released into the air. Exposure to hazardous waste is harmful to humans and wildlife. It is especially dangerous for young fledgling life forms. Fetuses, whether human or animal, are in a process of rapid development. The introduction of chemicals interferes with embryonic development, resulting in malfunctioning organs and limbs. Hazardous waste stunts plant growth, much of which is useful to humans for consumption or manufacturing. In addition, the elimination of plant life reduces the natural food supply for animals. Thus, hazardous waste exposure can potentially destroy an entire ecosystem. The presence of hazardous waste in the environment is often the result of inadequate disposal. Improperly maintained landfills are a major issue. Although they appear to be isolated from contact with people or resources, they can still contaminate the surrounding environment. Waste in landfills sits for years or even generations. It emits gases that are both foul and toxic. It produces a liquid known as leachate, which can travel to water supplies such as rivers, lakes, and the ocean. For example, gasoline is toxic and can cause environmental harm. It is the most popular fuel for small automobiles, and the transportation sector depends on it. Next chapter, title: Plastics. Since their mass production began in the 1940s, plastics' wide range of unique properties has propelled them to an essential status in society. Next year, more than 300 million tons will be produced worldwide. The amount of plastics manufactured in the first 10 years of this century approaches the total produced in the entire last century, according to a report. Evidence is mounting that the chemical building blocks that make plastics so versatile are the same components that harm people and the environment. Besides, their production and disposal contribute to an array of environmental problems. For example, chemicals added to plastics are absorbed by the human body. Some of these compounds have been found to alter hormones or to have other possible effects on human health. Plastic debris, laced with chemicals and often ingested by marine animals, can injure or poison wildlife. Floating plastic waste, which can survive for thousands of years in water, serves as mini transportation devices for invasive species disrupting habitats. Plastic buried deep in landfills can leach harmful chemicals that spread to groundwater. Approximately 4% of world oil production is used as a feedstock to make plastics, and a similar amount is consumed as energy in the process. People are exposed to chemicals from plastics multiple times per day via air, dust, water, food, and the use of consumer products. For instance, phthalates serve as plasticizers in the manufacture of vinyl flooring and wall coverings, food packaging, and medical devices. 8 out of every 10 babies and nearly all adults have measurable levels of phthalates in their system. In addition, bisphenol A, BPA, found in polycarbonate bottles and the linings of food and beverage cans, can leach into food and drinks. The CDC has reported that 93% of people have detectable levels of BPA in urine. The report noted that the high exposure of premature infants in neonatal intensive care units to both BPA and phthalates is of great concern. Polybrominated diphenyl ethers, PBDEs, which are flame retardants added to polyurethane foam furniture cushions, mattresses, carpet pads, and automobile seats, are also widespread. Next chapter, title, e-waste. Roughly 40 million metric tons of electronic waste, e-waste, is produced globally each year, and 13% of that waste is recycled mostly in developing countries. Approximately 9 million tons of this waste, discarded television sets, computers, cell phones, and other electronics, are produced by the European Union, according to the UNEP. This organization also notes that this estimate of waste is likely too low. Informal recycling markets in China, India, Pakistan, Vietnam, and the Philippines handle anywhere from 50% to 80% of e-waste, often shredding, burning, and dismantling the products in backyards. Emissions from these recycling practices are damaging human health and the environment. Developing countries with rapidly growing economies handle e-waste from developed countries and their internal consumers. Currently, an estimated 70% of e-waste handled in India is from other nations, but the UNEP estimates that between 2007 and 2020, domestic television e-waste will double, computer e-waste will increase fivefold, and cell phone waste 18-fold. The black market recycling practices magnify health risks. For example, primary and secondary exposure to toxic metals such as lead results mainly from open-air burning used to retrieve valuable components such as gold. Combustion from burning e-waste creates fine particulate matter, which is linked to pulmonary and cardiovascular diseases. While the health implications of e-waste are difficult to isolate due to the unofficial working conditions, poverty, and poor sanitation, several studies in Guiyu, a city in southeastern China, provide relevant insights. Guiyu is known as the largest e-waste recycling site in the world, and the city's residents show substantial digestive, neurological, respiratory, and bone problems. For instance, 80% of Guiyu's children experience respiratory ailments and are at an especially high risk of lead poisoning. Residents of Guiyu are not the only ones at risk. Researchers such as Brett Robinson, a professor of soil and physical sciences at Lincoln University in New Zealand, warn that wind patterns in southeast China disperse toxic particles released by open-air burning across the Pearl River Delta region, home to 45 million people. This way, toxic chemicals from e-waste enter the soil crop food pathway, one of the most significant routes of human exposure to heavy metals. These chemicals are not biodegradable. They persist in the environment for long periods, increasing exposure risk. Next chapter. Title, Global Warming. If you prepare a large capped glass flask containing ordinary air, with a green piece of filter paper inside, and expose it to sun rays, the temperature inside the flask will rise due to the various gases in the air and the color of the filter paper. If you add pure carbon dioxide to the glass flask discussed above, the temperature inside the flask will rise more quickly. If you add pure methane, you will find that the warming effect is 21 times that of carbon dioxide. Similarly, if you add pure nitrous oxide, the warming effect is 330 times that of carbon dioxide. The effects of different greenhouse gases on temperature under controlled conditions in the laboratory. Today, we are at the early stages of global warming and its effects, but there are signs that we are on the road to major changes in weather and ocean patterns. Indeed, the water vapor content of the air is rising with an average increase in water vapor of 0.04 parts per million per year over Boulder, Colorado. Actual sea level changes over the last 100 years. Indeed, lower latitude glaciers are melting away to the point where only 50% of them remain on Earth since the year 1900. Many agricultural communities are dependent on the annual melting of glacier waters and their replenishment. In addition, the ocean and sea levels have been rising at the rate of an inch every 10 years, and this rise is now accelerating. In the United States of America, forest fires are burning larger sections of land and are reaching higher up the mountains where there was once snow to slow them down. These fires are also burning hotter, and trees that depend on fires, e.g. the ponderosa pines, are dying from the extreme heat the fires generate. Nitrogen oxides, gases, perform an important function in atmospheric chemistry. They are emitted into the atmosphere naturally, mainly as a result of microbial activities in soils and lightning discharges. Currently, and predominantly, the emissions occur as a result of human activities, such as combustion of fossil fuels, biomass burning, and the use of fertilizers. Long-term trends of their concentration in the atmosphere are not documented adequately. Nevertheless, reconstructed emission inventories suggest that large increases have occurred throughout this century. Exposure to nitrogen oxides has direct adverse effects on humans, animals, and plants. Nitrogen oxides also contribute to the global environmental problems facing our planet, i.e., excessive global warming, depletion of the ozone layer, and acid rain. J. Hansen and colleagues report that melting of the ice sheets south and north of the globe will significantly raise ocean levels, cause severe weather storms, and the hurtling of boulders into the air. These problems will reinforce our current march to global warming, which will reach a critical point in 10 years or so instead of hundreds. Next chapter. Title: Water Depletion and Contamination. Groundwater. Groundwater is a valuable resource throughout the world. Where surface water, such as lakes and rivers, is scarce or inaccessible, groundwater supplies many of the hydrologic needs of people everywhere. Sustained groundwater pumping, as the result of overpopulation, causes groundwater depletion and is a key issue associated with groundwater use. Many areas of the world are experiencing groundwater depletion. Pumping groundwater faster than its recharge rate can have some negative consequences for the environment and the people who make use of the water. Lowering the water table increases the cost of drilling and pumping water. In addition, the reduction in water amounts in streams and lakes is partly due to groundwater depletion and the lowering of the water table. Land subsidence occurs when water is removed from the soil. This means that the soil collapses and compacts, rendering it useless to agriculture or wildlife. Deterioration of water quality in fresh groundwater supplies is caused by saltwater intrusion from oceans, seas, very deep groundwater sources, and water below oceans that is saline. USGS Fact Sheet and USGS Circular 11A6. Water quality is also affected by mining, drilling for oil, and toxic waste dumping where heavy metals and crude oil residues seep into groundwater systems. Lake and river water. With the increased demand for fresh water in our growing populations, we are fast approaching a point where there will not be enough water to go around. The sources of lake and river water are groundwater in the form of springs, rain, glaciers, and mountain snow. With the advent of global warming and climate change, we can see that snow and glaciers are disappearing at an alarming rate, as discussed earlier. This change affects the year-round supply of groundwater, lakes, and rivers. With global warming, the temperatures of lake and river waters are gradually increasing, causing stress to aquatic fauna and flora. This stress can lead to the death or extinction of less hardy species, and perhaps to the introduction of species more tolerant of warmer waters in these waterways. In turn, these phenomena affect the food supply of many terrestrial species, including humans that depend on these waters for food. Next chapter. Title: Cities. Before the advent of human technology, nature had figured out how to make the populations stable. This was done by having the death and birth rates more or less equal. Since then, these rules have been ignored, and now the birth rate is higher than the death rate, resulting in an explosion in the human population from 2 billion 100 or so years ago to 7.5 billion today. With growing populations concentrated in cities and their suburbs, communicable diseases have flourished while domestic and industrial accidents made their debut. Garbage and human fecal waste had to be rid of. Garbage is typically buried underground where it leaks toxins into the groundwater systems and the air, or it is taken far out to sea to be dumped. Human fecal matter is sometimes treated and returned to the earth, but most of the time it is dumped in rivers or into the sea. Next chapter. Title: Antibiotics and Superbugs. Antibiotic resistance is a serious and growing problem in today's healthcare and has become one of the eminent public health concerns of this century. In the simplest cases, microorganisms acquire resistance via mutations that make them insensitive to common antibiotics, thereby requiring the use of less common secondary antibiotics. Primary antibiotics are preferred because they have several advantages that include safety, availability, and low cost. Secondary antibiotics are broader in the spectrum, pose higher risks, and may be more expensive or locally unavailable. In the case of some multiple drug-resistant pathogens, resistance to secondary and even tertiary antibiotics has been demonstrated, as seen in pathogens Staphylococcus aureus and Pseudomonas aeruginosa, which possess strong intrinsic resistance. The major cause of widespread antibiotic resistance is the overuse of antibiotics in agriculture and human healthcare. It is becoming harder and harder to fight infections caused by these drug-resistant pathogens, and their increase in number and prevalence is outpacing society's ability to fight them. With the use of antibiotics, we have been killing off whole biological communities in our soils and waterways and putting ourselves in danger. Next chapter. Title: Colonization of the World. As the accumulation of wealth became institutionalized by the technological humans and reached a fever pitch, they embarked on the great expansionary conquest of the rest of the world, not realizing that they were regressing populations that had achieved a stable equilibrium with their surrounding biota. Those who had achieved a balance with nature and were dancing the cyclical dance were doomed to a life of slavery, serving the technological revolution and those who proclaimed their superiority. Next chapter. Title: Genetic Engineering. This technology is interfering greatly with natural selection. For example, there is genetically modified wheat that once planted becomes sterile. How this phenomenon interferes with natural selection is that natural plant pollen is used up to pollinate sterile plants, and the sterile pollen of the sterile plants pollinates the natural plants, hindering their natural ability to multiply. In addition, humans are sequestering more and more land to be cultivated for these sterile plants, thereby further interfering with nature's way of doing business. Next chapter. Title: Globalization. The promotion of free trade around the world and the spread of capitalistic economic systems have increased the spread of the above-mentioned dark events around the world. Next chapter. This summary. The human bloom has not been kind to the earth. Each of the preceding examples reveals how destructive we can be on the earth's habitats by doing ordinary things like going to work in the morning or taking a vacation. We have not reached the evolutionarily mature, energy-efficient stage. For example, a pride of lions does not finish off a herd of gazelle and move on. The pride of lions stakes out a territory and consumes only a part of the gazelle herd, leaving plenty of them to breed and produce naturally more food for the pride. This approach ensures efficiency in the use of the sun's energy. The pace of technological development, fueled by abundant fossil fuel energy, has outpaced evolution's ability to insert one or more genes into the human genome that would mitigate the environmental problems posed by humans on Earth and in Earth's biota. This is because human genetics takes anywhere from 100,000 to 500,000 years for any viable changes to be expressed, while the changes on Earth that are leading us to an inevitable mass extinction event are only 30 to 100 years. A question must be asked at this time. Is humanity's brain, with its accelerated learning abilities, able to replace its genetically controlled underpinnings and save the Earth? In other words, can we think our way out of our death wish and achieve an efficient and mature way to use energy? Next chapter. Title: The Wisdom of Nature. There are two basic elements to life on Earth. The first is the environment, and the second is the individual living in it. These two elements dance to the song of life. They are also dynamic, so the song of life changes over time. As the environment changes, so does the living individual. The environment also consists of two other components. Component A consists of inanimate objects like rocks, while component B consists of other live components. These inanimate and live components also dance to the rhythm of the music of Earth. Both are dynamic, so the music they make also changes over time. As the inanimate objects change, so does the living component of the environment. You may ask how the change in the environment comes about. The answer is, they are changed by forces inside and outside the Earth. The environment changes from volcanic activities, where continents are formed and disappear. The environment also changes from the rays coming from the sun that in turn heat up and then cool down the inanimate objects, causing them to change phases. You may ask how the changes to the living come about. The answer is by forces from outside and inside the Earth. From outside the Earth, there is radiation that mutates or changes the genetics of the living individual. From the inside of the Earth, the changes come from chemicals and other factors in the environment that mutate the genetic code. You may ask, are all changes to the living good? The answer is no. The genetics of the living are very strict and particular, so any change can cause the song or music made by that individual to be sour. You may also ask what determines if a change to the genetics of an individual is good or bad. The answer is the ability of the individual in question to survive. You kill a sour note and promote an rhythmical one, don't you? Next chapter. Title: Modern Humans. Before the advent of humans, most life forms depended on the rays of the sun as a source of energy for billions of years. It was the right amount of energy to create and maintain the rhythm of life's musical symphony. Even the earliest humans did so. But then human ingenuity discovered an alternative source of seemingly endless energy, which was used to create a sound that did not fit with the original symphony. Villages, towns, cities, and states that now cover the earth were built with this energy. Rivers were redirected, the ground was disfigured, and oceans were depleted to make room for the growing human population that eventually marred the earth to the point where humans couldn't hear the original symphony anymore. This new modern sound is a cacophony drowning out the original opus, which now can only be heard by a few researchers looking for the kernel of truth to life's nature. Meanwhile, the rest of humanity is reveling in its noise, proclaiming it is the hum of the universe. So the curved line was replaced with the straight one. Greenery was replaced by gray. Chlorophyll was replaced by dioxins, and death was cheated out of its duties. Instead of eliminating the sour notes, modern humanity has bandaged them and made them part of the wine of its cosmos. This modern-day world has very little resemblance to the real one, and as a result, is fragile because it carries a heavy load of bitter tones that don't jive with the actual. Death is revered in the genuine world while scorned in that of modern humans. It is the quality control that makes sure no acrid notes are played during life's performance. It is the teacher who makes sure life's symphony is flawless. It is the conductor who guides every life to perform to the satisfaction of the primary universe. Next chapter. Title: Hunter-Gatherer Lifestyle Advantages. Nature seems to have dictated the optimum population size for humans. It is around 0.5 to 1.5 individuals per square mile, depending on the capacity of the environment to maintain itself. Nature has several ways of maintaining this density. One is when the population grows too large, the limit of food resources causes starvation and will reduce the population size to optimum. Another tool to maintain a healthy population size is communicable diseases. When the population count increases beyond a certain point, these diseases thrive, causing a decrease in the number of individuals in a population. The current human population density on the Earth is 129 individuals per square mile. As a result, the following flourishing 80 communicable diseases are identified by the CDC: anthrax, human; babesiosis, botulism, food or wound; brucellosis, chikungunya, cholera, and other vibrio illnesses; coccidioidomycosis; Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, CJD, and transmissible spongiform encephalopathy, TSE; cyclosporiasis; cysticercosis; dengue and severe dengue; diphtheria, ehrlichiosis, anaplasmosis, Guillain-Barré syndrome, gonorrhea, Haemophilus influenza, invasive disease, hantavirus, hepatitis A, hepatitis B, perinatal hepatitis B, acute hepatitis C, acute hepatitis E, influenza, severe influenza, novel legionellosis, leprosy, Hansen's disease, leptospirosis, listeriosis, Lyme disease, malaria, measles, rubeola, meningococcal infections, mumps, pertussis, whooping cough, plague, human, poliovirus, psittacosis, Q fever, rabies, human rabies, animal relapsing fever, Ray syndrome, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, rubella, German measles, congenital syndrome, salmonellosis, Shiga toxin producing Escherichia coli, STEC, and or hemolytic uremic syndrome, ACE, shigellosis, spotted fever, rickettsioses, including Rocky Mountain spotted fever, Staphylococcus aureus, severe community-associated syphilis, taeniasis, tetanus toxic shock syndrome, non-streptococcal, trichinosis, tuberculosis, tularemia, typhoid carrier, typhoid and paratyphoid fever, typhus and other non-spotted fever, rickettsioses, varicella, chickenpox, vibrio illness, non-cholera, viral hemorrhagic fever, viral hemorrhagic fever, animal, West Nile virus, yellow fever, Zika. On the other hand, it is rare to find these diseases in populations of hunter-gatherers, with an average human population density of 1.3 individuals per square mile. Unfortunately, modern humans prefer to do battle with nature instead of heeding its wisdom. Another tool at the disposal of nature is the predator-prey relationship. As the predator population increases, the prey population decreases, and in turn decreases the predator population when they can't find enough to eat. Modern humans are hoarders, and when anything threatens their hoarded wealth, they do battle to maintain it. So, when a herd of cattle is culled by a puma, the puma pays the price, which goes against the wisdom of nature. Shelter is also a tool of nature to control the balance of populations in an environment like a forest. As the raw materials for building a shelter decrease, less shelter is provided, and an increase in the exposure to the elements causes a decrease in the population using the raw materials. Even life expectancy is under the control of nature. Stability is nature's game. When a tribe of hunter-gatherers consisting of 20 individuals lives in a jungle, the tribe needs to stay at 20 individuals to strike a balance with the environment. So if three babies are born, then eventually three adult tribe members need to die of old age to maintain the 20. If this does not happen and the tribe grows in number, this will cause the jungle to be overburdened and eventually be consumed. Next chapter, conclusion. Nature loves harmony, balance, and symphony. Anything that comes between nature and its beloved activities is eventually eliminated. For modern humans to do battle with nature is futile. The result will be their elimination if they don't heed and quit singing out of tune.